I don't know about you all, but the Lord has never failed me, as we just heard. But it's a two-way street. As I said, we're dependent on the Lord, but He's also dependent on us. Desire your prayers tonight. I'll write the title on the board here. I have written on the board, cast your lot with the Lord. And truly, no doubt we've all heard some folks use that saying before, casting one's lot. Simply means to decide to support or to follow a particular person or a group of people. In other words, it's to go all out, to be sold out, to go all the way, holding nothing back. And at the same time, disregarding and not really worried about the outcome, just going all in. And I think back of early on in my career, over 15 years ago, I've been working for a company since I was in high school, and been there over 7 years, and an opportunity came up at another company, and I was really hesitant. I hadn't, that was the only job I'd had so far, and wasn't sure what to do. But I interviewed with this company, and by the time I got done with the interview, I'm like, I'm in. And they said, well, we'll call you back for a second interview if we want you. Well, it took 3 or 4 months. And finally they called me back. So I had a lot of time to think about it, pray about it. Went for that second interview, and by the time I got done with that second interview, it's like, I'm totally in. Because of the things that they were promising, and it was a young company, it had only been around for about a year or so, and they're explaining to me all the things, how it was a manufacturing company, how they've grown, and they made a good profit the first year they're in business, and all these other things, and I'm like, I'm in. So, started the job, and of course, once you leave a job I'd had for 7 years, I'm like, well, I'm cutting ties here. I'm kind of jumping out. It's a new young company. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I'm all in. And the end result was, it was a good choice. It was a great company I worked for. Everything went well until they sold out to a large corporation. But it was one of those things where it taught me something. I remember early on in my career at the first job, the owner of the company, it was one of those things where I had a tendency of, in my position in the engineering department, there was something, he would walk by and ask me about certain projects. And he would say, well, so how's it coming on this? And how's it going on that? And I go, well, I never would really give him a clear answer. Well, one day he stopped me in the hallway and he said, so I answered the same way as I had before. And he's like, no, just tell me what's going on. Yes or no, is it going well or not? And it was one of those things where I found that throughout life, no doubt all of us have these challenges, not just on the job, but when it comes down to serving the Lord, we're either all in or not. We're either cold or hot. The scripture said in Revelations, if we were lukewarm, He would spew us out of His mouth. So here we have a decision here that I had to make on the job. And I cut ties, left that job, went to this other one, and it turned out great. But yet, there was a risk that I took, because I didn't know what was going to happen in this young company. Well, I want to tell you what. When you go all out for the Lord, there's no risk. In other words, you're a winner either way. No matter what happens. We've heard different ones. In fact, recently, Brother James Husky, he went all out. And now, guess what? He's enjoying the reward of going all out for the Lord. But there's another story, something I observed recently in graduation, and it was one of our young people. And the young man said something towards the end of his little speech that really struck a chord with me. And this has been a burden of mine for some time. But considering, especially the young people, but this is more than just for the young people tonight. It's for all of us. Young, old, middle-aged, doesn't matter. But he made this comment after been thinking and praying about some decisions in his life and what to do. But he wrapped it up this way. He said, you know, after considering it all, I decided to cast my lot with these people, with the Lord. That was his decision. And all of that encouraged me. I'm like, you know what? There's still some folks here that are willing to go all the way for the Lord. And you know, that encourages me. That lets me know that I'm on the right path too, because it rang true in my heart. Well, there's another story in the Bible. Remember the story of Ruth? Ruth and Naomi. Truly, it was quite a challenge for her to... wasn't sure what to do. Their husbands had died, and in a foreign country there, and they're willing to go back. In fact, let's read a couple of scriptures here. In Ruth, the first chapter, in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Ruth saw something special in Naomi here. Now consider who Ruth was. She was a Moabitess. She was a heathen. She didn't really know about the true Jewish ways. But yet Naomi had lived the life. She had established something there that Ruth saw that was attractive to her. So she clave unto her in verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Now get what she says here at the last. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Do you realize what she's doing here? She's casting her lot with Naomi. And it's one of those things where she didn't know truly what the future was. Her husband had died. Naomi's husband died. They were wondering. They didn't have no means of supplying and nothing to provide for them. So here it is. She's like, no, I'm going to go with you. And she said, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. You know, that was stepping out on faith there. And to consider the situation that they were in, they went back. And you remember how the story of Ruth ends? Well, I guess you shouldn't say ends, but because her lineage lived on and became the lineage of Christ, you see. And God had a plan and provided for her abundantly. She didn't realize all that was at stake. She didn't realize what was going to happen, but she just stepped out in faith that, no, Naomi lived something here, and I realize there's something special here, and I want that. And so she cast her lot with Naomi's people and with her God. And God rewarded her richly, abundantly, above all that she could ask or think. Well, considering this, let's do just a little backdrop. Considering what is casting your lot. You see, that's something they actually practiced in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. It was something, a method that God's people, the Jews, and others did too, that they used, and specifically it went all the way up until the time of before the day of Pentecost, but it was the procedures they would use to determine the will of God. Just to give you a few examples, we'll put it this way. In our modern day, just as a kind of an analogy here, flipping a coin. I know sometimes with our boys, maybe there's certain chores that we're not sure which one, like, well, who's going to do this first or that first or this, you know, well, let's just flip a coin. And we'll decide. You call it in the air, you know. That's just a simple, trivial thing, but it's helping decide a matter. But back in the Old Testament, there were some weightier matters they were dealing with. One in particular, back when the 12 tribes, they were splitting up their inheritance of the land of promise, the land of Canaan, it was by lots that they chose that. And to give you an example of what they would do, some of them, they would use either sticks with particular markings on them or stones. with symbols and different things marked on them. And maybe you could take a handful of sticks and they were all marked. And whichever one, you dropped it on the ground. And whichever one was on top, that was the chosen one, you see. So it was means like that. But the fact was, they had a faith in God, that God was going to choose which one and allow it by His divine providence to happen how He wanted it to happen. So again, it was an act of faith in God. But here's some other examples. There were times when they were trying to decide on the warriors, which ones had to go to war. If only a certain percentage was needed, they would cast lots again. And they believed that God was leading in that. The order of the priests and their duties. They would cast lots for that. Also, a determination of an offender. Take, for example, Jonah. We heard about him this afternoon. But you know, they cast lots. And God was in that. God chose Jonah because God was trying to get a message across to him. Quit running from me. But all along, God had a plan for Jonah. You know, we read it in the past tense now. We can look back and say, wow, Jonah, you were foolish. But as we heard this afternoon, sometimes we can all be that way. We don't really realize it, but God in His infinite mercy and love will give us a chance and another chance. Okay? Well, that's what He did with Jonah and with the people in Nineveh. But again, determination of an offender. And another time, this is right before the day of Pentecost, actually used in the New Testament, when they had to choose one of the 12, or they had 11 disciples, had to get a 12th. And they chose Matthias. He was chosen to replace Judas, and it was by lot. But here's the interesting part. You see, by casting lots, it was a fair way to decide difficult matters. For example, in Proverbs 18 and 18, we'll just read a scripture here. Pray for us. We're trying to lead up to a point here. Proverbs 18 and 18. It says, "The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty." You see, what this was doing is putting everyone on a level playing field here. Not a respecter of persons. No one's better or worse than anyone else. We're just going to cast the lots and allow God to decide who to choose or what to do in the situation. And it says, "And parteth between the mighty." So it didn't matter. Again, put everyone on the same playing field. And it would also cause contentions to cease. So, well, we'll decide once and for all. Let's all agree and let's do it. We cast our lots and it's done. But to consider this, before the day of Pentecost, this is what they would do. This was their, they were limited in trying to find out God's will. As far as the whole group of them, yes, there were prophets and different ones that truly had a close walk with God and God worked with them. But the majority of the folks, they were very limited. So they would cast lots to decide these things. But I want to tell you something. That ceased on the day of Pentecost. Because that's when the Holy Spirit came to say, "I'll teach you and show you what God's will is. And I'll lead you into all truth. And I will help you. I will guide you. I direct you. I have a plan for your life. My Spirit will go with you," you see. You're not going to have to cast lots anymore and have to get together and have a little meeting here, little pallets, get your sticks, get your little stones. No, the Holy Spirit going with us, each and every one of us individually throughout the whole world. It didn't matter. Not limited by sticks and stones. Well, again, this was a method. Casting lots was God approved of that, and He blessed in that. But it goes deeper than that. You see, let's read another scripture in Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs 16 and 31. It says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." You see, this is where it gets really deep. Because perhaps some of the folks that would cast lots, maybe they really didn't have a true faith in God. And it was just God's mercy that, well, they're following the protocol, so I'm going to bless in this anyway. And I want something to happen here, so He would move upon it and cause a certain stone or stick to turn up, and God's will still be done. But it was one of those things where The scripture says the lot is cast into the lap. So let's consider this, cast into the lap. That means that that stone or that stick that has an identification marker, a notation of whose it was, that at some point you have to take that and turn it loose. Release it. Let it go. You see? Let go and let God decide is what it's talking about. And then it goes on the second part here. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Again, emphasizing God's going to decide here. God's going to choose what he feels is right, what he feels is just, what he feels is the perfect time and place for whatever to happen. So what that means, what this boils down to, is that we must, if we're going to go all the way for the Lord, we can't stand around holding our identity, so to speak. These stones we have are certain little things, little private little insecurities or fears or doubts or, well, this is who I am and we're holding it. No, I don't want to let go of it. I'm just going to. No, you must let go and let God dispose. Let God choose and decide. Let God's judgment be on that. Let God decide what to do with that, you see. Because truly, we can't for ourselves. Or we'd make a mess of it, just like Jonah did. Made a mess of it. Well, when we do this, when we allow God to work and to move, that means that we're going to allow, we're giving permission for the Holy Spirit to come in and have free access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, not just at these critical little moments. Well, occasionally, let's go, all right, let's all get together and decide to cast lots because there's a big decision here. No, throughout your whole life, 24 hours a day, like I said, that we decide, Lord, I'm going to let go and let you. I'm going to let you decide. I'm going to let you work and let you move. Again, you're going to have free access to work and move according to your will. According to your plan in my life, see, here's the thing. Consider this. Say there was 10 folks gathered together, and they're all going to cast lots. Now, what if half of them, 5 of them said, nope, not going to do it. I'm just going to stand back. You realize that that's not allowing free course there. And maybe one or two of them, they finally drop them. Okay, well, come on. You know what? Well, this is not right. We got to do all the same time. I want to tell us, dear ones, it does affect one another when we decide to withhold things from God, to hang on to things, say, no, this is me. I'm not going to let go of that. You may be shortchanging and cheating someone else out of a blessing. Not just yourself, but someone else too, where God's saying, I want to bless you and them. And I'll decide in this matter. I'll choose what I want to choose and when I want to do it, you see. But Lord, help us that we let go and let God choose and dispose of it. Well, it of course goes to another level. This goes to a level of consecration, dedication to the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, we all have things that are identities. Well, this is who I am. Are we content with that tonight? Are we content with who we are? Or do we want to become something that God can transform into a beautiful vessel, a vessel unto honor that He can work and use as He pleases, as He desires, anytime He wants. He can wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning and burden us to pray for somebody, or to send some money to somebody, or send a text to somebody, or to call somebody, or sing a song, or whatever. And God ultimately gets the glory, you see. But it's when we finally let go and say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Then God can bless not just you, but everyone as a group. Well, do you know what that means? True consecration, dedication to the Lord. That means that we'll be willing to work for Him at whatever capacity He chooses. Whether it be just a faithful prayer warrior, or whether it be a song leader, or whether it be a Sunday school teacher, or whether it be someone that has the gifts of helps, that can go around ministering, helping, doing things for other people. Or maybe it is a preacher. Or maybe it is a missionary. Or maybe it is someone that God blesses their talents and abilities and they can make a substantial amount of money and then say, God says, I want you to send a big check to so-and-so, or to this effort, or to that effort, whatever, and boom. And God's working and moving and blessing not just a few individuals, but all of us as a whole, you see. This all works together because it's under God's umbrella of His perfect will in our lives. Well, so when He calls for you, let's turn and read Matthew 4, a few scriptures here. The disciples that Jesus chose, He did not choose the master scholars. Just a bunch of, I call them, unlearned hillbillies. Fishermen. That's all they were. Most of them. And here we have in the fourth chapter of Matthew, in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. One statement is all Jesus made. Now notice what happens here. Did they stand around holding and rubbing their little stones and looking at the little pretties and reminiscing, thinking all these wonderful plans and dreams are going to do with these fishes or with their money and all these things? No. It says here, and they straightway left their nets and followed Him. You know what that means? They cast their lot, said, I'm going, I'm all in. I want to tell you something. I don't think that happened overnight. It wasn't just by surprise that Jesus appeared out of nowhere. Who were you? No. There was an acquaintance there already, you see. There was some preparation that had been taking place there. God had already been working. No doubt there was already some things in Andrew's and Peter's, we'll get to the others here in a little bit, that God had already been dealing with them about doing this. And when the time was right and ripe, you see, God had been working with them. And Jesus walks by and says, come follow me. And they said, we're in. I'm all in. I want to tell you something. What was the end of Peter? Don't you consider him victorious? Yes. Oh, he had some difficult times. Yes, that's just like you and I. But once he got a hold of the Holy Spirit, things changed after that. And not only did he say, oh, well, you remember what Jesus said, and some of the disciples left and others left, and he's like, were you too going to go? And Peter said, to whom else will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So you see, here's what happens. When we cut ties with the world and with ourself and with everything else, there's nowhere else to go but to the Lord, you see. And that's how God wants it for all of us, and to keep it that way. And here's the awesome thing. Peter kept it that way. Once he committed that to the Lord, he left it there. Never once did he go back and pick up that stick or pick up that stone and say, I want that back. No, he left it once and for all. Well, what about these others? Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Notice what's going on here. You see, God doesn't, we'll just put it bluntly, God's not going to call somebody that's lazy. We'll just cut right down where it's at. They were busy, they were working. They were doing the best they could do, providing, doing whatever they're supposed to be doing. But in their hearts, they're searching for the Lord, for His will. Casting their lot, saying, Lord, I'll throw it out again. I'm ready, whatever. And when Jesus walked by, they were mending their nets, and He called them, you see. We all have a calling here. And what did they do? And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. That's quite a mouthful. Here we have four individuals here. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And Jesus, it looked like, and I don't know, it'd be interesting to hear the conversations once they started following Him. They're like, okay, what next, Lord? I don't know. But all I know is this. Once they decided, they never once turned back. And you know what that tells me? That they tasted something so good there. As the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They tasted something. They're like, you know what? I'm not going back to that garbage, so to speak. Who I used to be and who I was planning to be. I'm not going back to that. I'm going to follow the Lord all the way because I like what I'm tasting. I like what I'm experiencing here. Not only do I like it, I love it. I'm done. I'm sealed. It's over with. I cast my lot, never wants to pick it up again. You see, that's true dedication and consecration, dear ones. And the call is, it's not me calling you. The Lord's calling for all of us is, go all the way. Drop it. Don't pick it up again. Because I want to warn you, it won't bode well for you. Remember what Judas did? He picked it up again. He failed. He came up short. But the others were faithful all the way to the end. And they all filled different positions, so to speak. They all had certain special gifts that God used them in. On the day of Pentecost, who was it? It was Peter that got up and preached the first message. And God used him mightily. But some of the others were quiet. John, what did he do? Well, he suffered. Quietly, by himself. But what did he write? Oh, isn't that amazing? God has a plan for all of us, dear ones. And we heard last night about jealousy. I want to tell us, dear ones, there's no room for jealousy in the church of God. Because remember when Ruth said, your people will be my people, your God is my God. In other words, there's no room for any other God here. And jealousy and envy is a God. It'll destroy congregations, homes, families, nations. There's no room for that. We must drop it all. Our identity, consecrate it, leave it all in the Lord's hand. Say, Lord, you decide who's right and who's wrong. I'm going to let you decide. It's all on the altar here, Lord. And I'm not going to pick it up again. That is casting your lot with the Lord. That's what it means to cast your lot for the Lord. Meaning, Lord, I'm willing to go all the way. You know, there's a song that says, and I've heard some ministers comment on it and say, when you sing it and you raise your hand to it, understand what you're doing here. It says, whatever it takes to be more like you, Lord. Because you see, Jesus went all the way and never looked back. He was the perfect example. He gave his life, as a song they sang earlier, he gave his life for us. Can we not give him ours? You see, that's the challenge. We may not die on a literal cross, but what did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. And that's exactly what the disciples did. And that's exactly what in the new early morning church, that's exactly what happened. The church grew exponentially. It exploded. And why? Because they cast their lot with the Lord. Cut all their ties with all the old fables and all the old wise tales and all the doctrines of men and all those things. And actually casting lots, like, no, we're going to use the Holy Spirit. Because He is accurate and He can be in all places at all times. And He can actually go home with someone and deal with them during the night. And they come back a new person. You can't do that just casting stones and sticks down. But the Holy Spirit can transform someone. It may take days or weeks, or it may take just a few seconds. The gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit saying, drop it, and we drop it, and in comes the joy of the Lord, and the peace, and the contentment, and the love. It's like, oh Lord, why didn't I do that sooner, you see? That's what it means, oh taste and see that the Lord is good. Because He desires to bless all of us abundantly above what we can ask or think or even imagine. That's what the Lord will do. But it's hinged upon, are we going to cast our lot with Him? Are we going to go all the way? Because it leads to another scripture here. I've already alluded to this already. But in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see what this is? This is a calling, not just for a few people here tonight. This is a calling for all of us. And I want to get down even to this. Even if you haven't chose the Lord yet in your life, maybe you're a Ruth. Maybe you really don't know and understand. You weren't raised this way and it's hard to soak it in. I want to tell you something. Take heed, the scripture says, mark the perfect man. That's not talking about someone that's flawless, as in everything they do is exact and perfect and no blemishes. That's not what it's talking about. Mark the perfect man, mark someone that is wholly sold out to the Lord. That's what it means. They're mature about it. Everything is in. They've cast their lot with the Lord. Mark the perfect man. So that's exactly what Ruth did. She marked Naomi and realized, you know what? She's got something and I want it. And what did she do? She wanted it so bad, she let loose, cast her lot, and followed her all the way. And it wasn't just her. It was ultimately the Lord is who she followed, you see. And that's what we must do here. The scripture says, Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, there are some leaders. But I want to tell us something. All of us can be a leader. In other words, we can demonstrate to this lost and dying world that there is a way to follow the Lord. And there is a way to be blessed in your soul. And there is a way to find peace and contentment and joy in this wicked old sinful world. Because other people are looking and stumbling, and what they're doing is they continue to hang on to their identity and all their hopes and dreams and plans and little things they're petting, so to speak, in their lives, thinking, well, one of these days I'm going to do this. One of these days I'm going to do that. I want to tell you what. When you cast your lot with the Lord and you drop all those things, there is a special peace and contentment, a peace that passeth understanding, the scripture says, that the world cannot comprehend. They're like, what? You go to church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday? And you read and pray? What? You don't curse? No. All these other things, they start going down the hole. And you've been married for 20 years? You know? 50 years? How do you do that? I'm going to tell you something. It's folks that have cast their lot with the Lord and said, I'm going all the way. And it's not just with the Lord, it's also with this people. Because it's a collective effort here. What would it be if it was just a few of us scattered throughout the whole earth and we never communicated like this and fellowship one with another? It'd be difficult, would it not? But the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Especially as we consider the day and age we live in now. The end of time is nearer, much nearer than it was back when that scripture was written. So, oh Lord, help us to make up our mind and decide, am I in or am I out? And we start considering all those that have cast their lots for the Lord, and they've died in peace and victory, and they've won their prize. Their testimony rings loud and clear tonight. And so the challenge is, guess what? It's up to us, to you and I. What are we going to do with our identity? What are we going to do with ourselves? Are we going to hold it and keep it and pet it? We're going to say, Lord, I'm casting my lot once and for all, forever. I'm casting my lot to follow you all the way, just as Jesus did, as our perfect example. You pray for me.